Thanks, Nigel. And now, back to the news. Beer lovers will be able to sample a mixture of real ales at a four-day festival next year. The festival will run from February the 20th until February the 24th at St Andrews and Blackfriars Halls in Norwich City Centre. Organised by the Norwich and Norfolk Campaign for Real Ale, Camera Branch, the festival will spread out to cider and real ale pubs in the city during that time for a fringe event. The festival at St Andrews and Blackfriars Halls will include the Great British Beer Festival Winter Competition, where champion brews from all across the country will be judged. The Camera Competition, four-day festival and fringe event come to Norwich for the first time this year and will continue until 2019. Jenny Back, Norwich and Norfolk Camera Press and Publicity Officer, said February Festival was introduced to Norwich because of the popularity of the main Norwich Beer Festival, which runs in October and is in its 40th year. Next year's February Festival will include live music as well as a variety of real ale and cider.
From a medieval manuscript to a 16th century boot, people are being given the chance to adopt more pieces of history to help take Norwich Castle back to the future. The Keep Adopting scheme was set up as part of the wider Keep Giving appeal to raise £50,000 for the ambitious £13.5 million Norwich Castle Gateway to Medieval England project to reimagine the castle's keep as it was in its royal palace heyday, including recreating the keep's main Norman floor and great hall. So far, Keep Adopting has played a part in nearly £15,000 being raised, and now five more artefacts have been made available for people to adopt and support the castle's project. They include an elaborate medieval manuscript, a boot from the 1500s, found at St Benedict's Gate in 1951, and a 15th century sword. There is also a cannon, which is thought to have been used in the 14th century and was found in Lowestoft, and a medieval tile, which is thought to have been made in the 1400s and includes an illustration of a dog and the badge and name of Sir John Talbot, the first Earl of Shrewsbury and a military commander. All five are classed as gold objects, which means they may only be adopted by one person or group.
It was an appeal which put Norwich on the map as one of the best centres in the country for diabetes treatment. And now the charity, which has stood up for diabetes patients for decades, has celebrated a milestone anniversary. The Norfolk Diabetes Trust was founded 30 years ago, and in that time has helped hundreds of thousands of people. But the organisation had humble beginnings as a pipe dream to bring better facilities to the city. Co-founder of the charity, Dr. Richard Greenwood, said in the 1980s there was little good quality organised care for people with the disease in Norfolk. He said, as ever, NHS resources were limited and diabetes was not a priority. I arrived in Norwich in 1979 as a consultant and inherited the diabetes clinic at the Norfolk and Norwich Hospital, he said. But the problem was that there was not very much to inherit. Dr. Green said the two clinics were overwhelmed with patients, and although adjusting staffing levels helped, there was still much work to be done. Patients were having to wait so long without the regular meals they needed, one would occasionally collapse and have to be resuscitated. So, along with colleague Dr. Philip Hayburn, Dr. Greenwood decided the next step was to have a centre purely to treat diabetes. However, the site at the old Norfolk and Norwich Hospital was full, and to build on the West Norwich Hospital site would cost around £250,000. We realised we were not going to get any NHS funding, Dr. Greenwood said, so we had to try and raise it elsewhere, which is where Elsie Bertram stepped in with £120,000. Mrs. Bertram, known for co-founding Bertram Books with her son Kip, had a special place in her heart for diabetes, as both Kip and his brother Nigel had the condition. The Norfolk Diabetes Appeal was officially launched on December the 7th, 1987, and determined fundraising was taken on by Mrs. Bartram and others. She wrote to the businesses and asked organisations to pledge their support. In 1988, she said, "I've been sending out letters individually. In fact, I'm going to have to buy a new typewriter because mine is packed up with metal fatigue." In 1989, the specialist centre, dubbed the Bertram Diabetes Centre, was opened by Sir Harry Seacombe. Further fundraising under the new name of Norfolk Diabetes Trust then allowed a dedicated diabetes eye clinic to be opened by the Prince of Wales in 1994. This was one of the first in the UK and played an important role in the establishment of a national screening programme for diabetic eye complications. And then in 1996, a diabetic research unit was founded. At the time, Mrs. Bartram, who died in 2003, said, "I am pig-headed and I'm not going to stop. We want the moon. They never thought they would get there, but given the right amount of money, they did. Finding a cure for diabetes is difficult and research is expensive, but that is the important thing for us now, and we will do it." In 1990, she said, "People still think all you do when you're a diabetic is to give up sugar. They do not realise you can lose sight, lose limbs, and have kidney problems. But still today, the implications of diabetes are not well known, and there is no cure."
Norwich Film Festival welcomed an absolutely fabulous guest during the event's final weekend. Actress Jane Horrocks, who played the quirky character Bubble in the BBC comedy series and whose many films include Little Voice and Life is Sweet, visited the city to take part in an In Conversation event with the festival at the Forum on Saturday the 18th of November. Ahead of taking to the stage, she spoke of how important events such as the Norwich Film Festival, how they were in encouraging the next generation of filmmakers. She said, "People are becoming much more creative now about how to finance films, and they don't have to be such a big deal. People shoot films now on their iPhones. It's encouraging people to explore different ways of making film, which is a really good thing. And then to have them at a forum like this for them to show their films is brilliant, where a wider audience can see them." Ms. Horrocks has worked across stage, television and film with both the TV series Absolutely Fabulous and the play The Rise and Fall of Little Voice, for which Ms. Horrocks was nominated for an Olivier Award being made into films. "It's always nice when you have something immortalised on film, particularly with something like Little Voice, which was very special for me," she said. When asked about her highlights of working on Absolutely Fabulous alongside Jennifer Saunders and Joanna Lumley, she said, "Working with all the J's and Jennifer Saunders writing, it usually always boils down to the writing. If the writing is good, that is what makes it special. One of my favourite Bubble moments was when Minnie Driver was in it, and my character was very derogatory about Minnie Driver, which she took in very good humour. I think one of my favourite Bubble costumes was the Teletubby outfit. I really liked her as a Teletubby."
A group of artists and businesses have joined forces to present a powerful citywide exhibition of thought-provoking window art aimed to raise awareness of domestic abuse. The White Ribbon, a symbol for International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women, which is on November the 25th, has been adopted as a symbol against all domestic abuse, regardless of gender. The Now artists have created 30 pieces of work inspired by the ribbon, which will be displayed in Norwich shops and other venues this week. The hope is that this will highlight the issue of domestic abuse with an extra focus on raising awareness amongst men, who are less likely to talk to anyone if they are experiencing abuse. Up to 1 in 3 women and 1 in 5 men experience domestic abuse in their lifetime. Artist Danny Keane has created artwork for the project. he said, "It is hoped that this innovative scheme will shine a bright light on an all too often neglected issue." Philip Brown, whose menswear shop will feature in one of the displays, said, "The reason I agreed to get involved with this project is because I don't know much about it, and that is exactly the issue. It's a common problem, but clearly one we don't talk about enough."
An historic Riverside pub, which closed suddenly, is reopening in time for Christmas. The Buck Inn, which looks onto the River Yare in Thorpe St Andrew, Norwich, was shut at short notice by its owners, the EI Group, formerly Enterprise Inns, a month ago. But it will be back in business this Friday after the EI Group found new business owners, experienced publicans Victoria and Graham MacDonald. The Eaton couple already own the Cellar House in Eaton, the White Lodge in Attleborough, and the Old Ram Coaching Inn at Tivichell St Mary. Mrs MacDonald, who has been in the hospitality industry for 30 years, said it's incredibly exciting. "I love the pub. I've been a publican for 10 years, and I love everything about it. I love the beer, and I love the buildings that go with it." She described the Buck Inn as a beautiful building and praised the local community. Some parts of the small Grade II listed pub on Yarmouth Road date back to the 12th century, and it's understood to have gained its first drinking licence in the 18th century. The first community involvement of the Buck Inn, under its new ownership, will be supporting the Thorpe St Andrew Christmas lights switch on in December the 3rd by putting on a barbecue.
Well, that's all on this part of Chatterbox, so it's goodbye from
Paddy
and Ian. Please stay tuned for Information Desk, more news, and our second feature on yet another destination for our waste.